you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
Listen, from the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice, Christ to save your life.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she shouldn't be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch there over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Thanks, and welcome to Hope Radio here on Joy 98.7. We're excited to be here. We have the usual suspects.
Welcome.
Franklin the Woods.
Good evening.
Zach the Big Man Mitchell.
What's up? What's up?
Street Knot. And we have a guest with us. You heard him read our scripture intro.
Hello.
Dante Woods.
Prince Zion.
You're definitely glad to have one of our youth here. And for those of you that's listening, just to let you know, yeah, we'll let young people talk, you know. Not a lot. No, I'm kidding. And then, of course, our producer, the Macedonia.
The man.
The big Macedonia, the legend.
The myth.
The myth.
That's it.
All myths are rooted in legendary legends of legendary proportions. So,
yeah, yes.
This is going to be a special broadcast given the holidays that we have it coming up. And what we want to talk about today is Christmas and should Christians celebrate Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the other holidays. And so at this time of year, you know, you look at Facebook and you have kind of the usual suspects that kind of come out of the woodwork.
Right,
and
right.
They kind of denounce the holidays, Christmas time, for various reasons. Some people have a legitimate reason not to celebrate and others not so legitimate.
Right.
Based on fallacies or based on family backgrounds and stuff that. And so we're going to talk about it over the next couple sessions, if we don't complete it in this session.
Yes.
Because it's definitely an extensive background. And what we want to do is kind of talk about where a lot of this stuff came from. You know, where did the traditions come from? Where did like the Christmas tree, the lights, you know, why are we in celebrating it when we do? During this time in the winter, what's the historical facts, you know, weeding through the historical things and stuff like that. And so we wanted to start this session off, or this session to be about kind of just an overarching piece and dealing with why Christmas, you know. And ask, you know, some of the questions that we ask, because we do actually a lesson on this here at the Captive Project. And if you want to look at the current lessons, you can go to www.thecaptiveproject.com to see some of the lessons.
Check it out
there that we'll be doing starting in January.
Yeah.
But this particular one, we want to talk about why people have objections. What are some of the people's objections that you guys hear, you know, what are some of the objections? Go ahead. Yeah, what are some of the objections y'all hear about the holiday?
Some things we hear are things like, is it truly the day that Christ was born on?
About concerning Christmas.
Concerning Christmas, yeah.
What else?
You know, you said, what's the question again?
Really?
Yeah. What are some of the...
That's why you don't feed people in the production meetings. They just get sleepy and tired. What are some of the objections that you heard about Christmas or celebrating the holidays, or if Christians should?
Man, it's not Christ's birth. Christ wasn't born on December 25th, and it's pagan rituals.
Yeah,
and
that seemed to be the big one.
Yeah, so all types of sources.
You hear anything?
The day of his birth, a pagan holiday.
Say it again.
The day of his birth, Christmas.
Yeah. Was pagan a pagan holiday? Yeah. That seems to be the big one. And of course, it makes sense for us to kind of approach that, you know, right away. And so I, you know, in doing this particular lesson, I open it up.
Yeah.
And I ask, you know, people, because some of the objections I heard, let me back up a little bit. Some of the objections I heard is, well, Christ didn't celebrate his birthday. You didn't see, you know, him throughout his life celebrating his birthday in the Bible. Hence, we don't celebrate our birthday or his birthday or any holiday and things like that. And of course, in approaching that, that's so far from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank, you study the Old Testament, you know, and we've all studied the scriptures, but in particular, there are celebrations all over, you know, the Bible, such as...
I mean, they celebrating, you know, the different feasts. They celebrating the memorial stones, you know, our type of celebration to remind the children of the works that God had done in the midst of his people. So there's celebrations all over the place. And in particular, to help the people remember, right?
Yep.
So...
And that's one of the things when they say, well, the Bible didn't celebrate. And even if you, again, people detach the Old Testament and the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
which, again, we've talked to repeatedly, makes no sense at all, because you hear people say, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, do you realize that the New Testament is the...
finalization of the Old Testament.
And even the word finalization kind of misleads. It's... Because you notice in the New Testament, there isn't doctrinal stuff, because it's showing you how to fulfill the Old Testament in Christ Jesus.
So it's the fulfillment.
It's the fulfillment.
And I love the way that when we were going through the secret churches, and David Platt put it this way. He said that the Old Testament was an unfinished story, whereas the New Testament is the consummation of the whole.
Right. And I like, that was perfect. So just not to get off of track. Go ahead, Zach.
And another big problem people have with the holidays and Christmas are the Black Friday.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that today.
Right.
But when we talk about, you know, does the Lord promote celebrating? I mean, even if you want to say the Old Testament, New Testament, you move into the New Testament.
Right.
And we do celebrations on the Lord, for the Lord being at all time. The Lord's Supper is a celebration. Do this in remembrance of me.
There it is.
And all these celebrations were done in the Bible so that, what did the Lord tell them? You will not forget what the Lord God has done for you.
Right. So the whole connection was to point everyone back to remembering something about the Lord, the year of Jubilee.
Exactly.
Just all of these different celebrations that God has put in place as a remembrance of the things that he was doing amongst his people. So,
now I found the scripture. Now tell me if this includes celebrating of the holidays. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10:23-29. Everything is permissible, but not everything is helpful. Everything is permissible, but not everything builds up. No one should seek his own good, but the good of the other person. Eat everything that is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. If one of the unbelievers invites you over and wants you to go, eat everything that is set before you without raising questions of conscience.
Okay.
But if anyone says to you, this food is offered to an idol, do not eat it out of consideration for the one who told you for conscience sake. I do not mean your own conscience, but the other person's.
Right.
For why is my freedom judged by another person's conscience? If I partake with thanks, why am I slandered because of something I give thanks for?
Awesome. Well, in context, that they were talking about the dietary laws that some of the Jewish Christians thought Gentiles were supposed to be part of. And if you remember in the book of Acts, they settled that. Jesus' brother, who was the leader of the church, you know, the first Christian church back then, and when Paul and all them came, Paul, Luke, and all them came, they saw that Luke, you know, had the Holy Spirit just like they did, but he wasn't circumcised. He wasn't a Jew. And so they made the announcement that you don't have to become a Jew in order. And so this is kind of a reinforced teaching that Paul is doing when people also have concerns about the dietary issues and the dietary laws, so on and so forth. So in context of where this is at, Paul is just reiterating, okay, if it offends a brother, you know, don't do it. Not because it's law or whatever. It's because of his conscience and where he is spiritually, and I'm not going to offend him.
Right.
And so in context of what we're talking about, when we talk about the celebration of holidays, particularly Christmas, it's like if we know that somebody has a problem with it, okay, that's fine.
Right.
I won't invite you to my Christmas gathering. But on the same turn, you're not to despise me because I choose to celebrate it.
I think also we got to look at it in the context of who Paul is writing to. He's writing to a church, you know, and he's telling them about, you know, not offending one another, right? And if all things are permissible, but all things don't build up because of someone else's spiritual level, right? But in terms of someone that has don't celebrate Christmas, now the question is, if you don't celebrate Christmas and you come to my house, then you know that I celebrate Christmas. So then it should be you in terms of doing it because I do it, not in terms of you should put away your presents and your Christmas tree because I'm coming over.
Right. So that whole thing. I like the way you did that because, again, if you come to my house, you know what to expect.
Right.
So you shouldn't be offended. If you're going to be offended, then don't come to my house. When I come to your house, I'm not going to come bearing a Christmas card. I'm not going to come bearing Christmas gifts.
Yes.
I'm not going to come doing all that. And so, because I don't want the time to escape from us before we're able to explain. So when we talk about it, the one that I want to point out is the one that Tay just read in our intro. And that was a celebration. You had the host of heaven, okay, multitude of angels come to the shepherds and announce his birth. I mean, that if you want, that's the original Christmas song, glory to God in I mean, but the first
don't do that.
The first thing is that was a celebration. Okay, a monumental celebration. As a matter of fact, the cosmos celebrated too. Star that was seen for months ahead of time and months afterward. And the Bible says it was so bright that it shined during the day, almost as bright as the sun.
And didn't somebody bring gifts?
Yeah, well, that was like 2 years later. So, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about the Magi in a different segment. But I always argue to people, it's like, well, technically, we could celebrate Christmas like 2 years at a time, because you know the wise men
always
didn't come.
They always mix the wise men with the shepherds,
right.
You know, because the shepherds came.
Yeah,
you know,
the shepherds. I mean, they didn't necessarily bring anything. Right. So, but the wise men. But anyway, I digress. But
that's another study.
Study. But the point that I'm making here is that there is biblical evidence for doing celebrations, holiday celebrations, and things like that. And when we talk about Christmas in particular, the Lord himself kind of instituted that celebration, you know. And now the next point is the day, you know, December 25th. And the way I open up the lesson, I ask people, how many days of the year are there? Well, 365, if there's a leap year, you know, 366. And how many of you were born on May 1st, or when is your birthday? Mm-hmm. Now, what are the chances of me going through over 5,000 years of history and finding some pagan deity on your birthday? What are the chances of me finding some religion that was celebrated on that day? The question is, would you still celebrate your birthday if you found out the god of left toenails, where they cut off everybody's left toenail and burned it in the fire and celebrated it, you know, on your, would you cease to celebrate your birthday if you found that out? And of course, you know, it would be ridiculous to do that. And so the first statement, the first question of that's the first answer that question is, it doesn't matter what happened on that day in the past.
Yeah.
If you're celebrating your birthday because this is the day that you were born and people are celebrating because they're happy to see you and happy that you're part of their lives, that should be respected regardless of what happened 5,000, 2,000, or even a year ago. Right, I mean, how many people still celebrate their birthday on September 11th? One of the most horrible times in United States, if not the world history.
And speaking of that, September 11th, 2001 is the day I received salvation.
See,
so
exactly.
It doesn't have the same meaning for me as it would the rest of the country.
And wow, although, good point. That's an excellent point, you know, and even in that case, you respect the people that lost their lives that day, but on the same turn, you found life that day.
I found,
you know,
I'm celebrating.
And so, when we talk,
that's biblical.
And so, when we talk about the particular day, that preaches. When we talk
coming
about,
out of death.
Yeah, but when we talk about the particular day, December 25th. Now, historically, based on what we know, with the shepherds being in the field, it being around a particular time of year, the census, and again, you have to historically kind of look at the Roman history, the chronicles, and stuff like that. We know that it was most likely Christ's birth was around April. Or May, somewhere around in there, actually closer to the springtime than the wintertime. So then the question is, how do we get this December 25th? Now, everybody can do a Google search and stuff like that to find out the different reasons why. But the most accepted reasons by most historians is that when Christianity started to become... When Christianity started to become the religion of the Roman Empire through Constantine, you had a lot of pagan religions that Constantine decided to get rid of because you remember that last night of that battle, he said he received a vision, you know, from God, conquer under this symbol, and it was a cross. And so... he conquered. Now, some of the background of Constantine is people have to remember that Constantine, all the Roman Empire wasn't persecuting Christians. And at that time, the Roman Empire was divided up into four sections. And his father was ruler over a section, and they didn't persecute Christians because they were good citizens. And so Constantine grew up in an atmosphere that was very Christian based. And that's why many people believe that his mom and then he eventually moved and became a Christian and was very acceptable of the Christian community. But when he took over and he conquered and he united Germany and changed the capital of Constantinople and so on and so forth, he rid the kingdom of all the pagan religions, and to honor God, he replaced them.
Right.
And the major one that he replaced was a pagan ritual that was happening, and he decided on that day that they were going to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that, but I bring up this point. Do you realize that Jesus won that one? Because whenever somebody brings up that there was a pagan this, I say, well, you're the only one that's keeping this pagan guy alive and bringing it up. Because in the entire world, everybody, when you say December 25th, they think Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking Dagon or Dijon or Boo Boo or the left toenail god of the Athen goose or whatever. They're not thinking that. They're thinking Jesus Christ. And
right.
And so I'm thinking Jesus won that one, right, fellas?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
he won
did.
That
Hands
battle.
Down.
Right. And so next time when we get together, we're going to talk about the nuances of Christians, of Christmas, Black Friday, the Christmas tree, mm-hmm. the different elements of Christmas, and the notorious Santa Claus. Anyway, that's my reverb. That wasn't, don't blame that on Malcolm. That was, but
horrible.
It, but, excuse me. And so in wrapping, trying to wrap this up, we want to make sure that people understand that the Bible does not have a problem with us celebrating Christmas or the holidays. And if you remember, when, and this is the last point that I want to make, when people say, well, what about them taking Christ out of Christmas?
And that's what I was going right. about. That's what I was about to just chime in a little bit. You know, I got the opportunity to go and facilitate a Christmas program as well. And I came up on this video because I was really looking for something to really hone in on the reason for the season, you know, which is Christ's birth, the Savior of the world, the Messiah coming to deliver his people from the tyranny of sin. And I thought about how we celebrate Christmas in Western civilization, right? And we celebrate Christmas. The first thing everybody thinks about in Christmas is receiving a gift or giving a gift or spending money or not spending money or food. And they make it about all of these different things that's mostly men-centered, and they take it away from right. who it's really about.
Right. Right?
It's about the baby.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. Right? And we're going to talk about it on Black Friday when we talk about the Black Friday
Absolutely.
But one of the points I wanted to make was, number one, when people talk about Xmas, Merry Xmas, and so on and so forth, which is actually, the X there is actually a symbol for Christ, okay? And there's a history behind that. And again, everybody can do a Google search and if on a proper search, research on that. And then when it's like, well, why do I have to say, why do we say Happy Thanksgiving, Happy New Year? But when it comes to Christmas, we have to say Happy Holiday. I have a little twist on that. Because the actual pronunciation, if you look at it linguistically, is supposed to be Happy Holy Day. Hmm. That's how it's supposed to be pronounced. So when somebody says, hey, Happy Holidays, it's like, yeah, Happy Holy Day to you too. It sounds even more spiritual to me,
right.
Especially if you correct them and say Happy Holy Day. And it's like, huh? It's like, well, that's actually how you pronounce it. You know, you got people that try to pronounce it differently. And so
it's just amazing how, you know, we've been a country that has had so many different interpretations of Christianity, so many different translations of the Bible, and have the light, and yet we don't understand terms like holy
right.
day. Right. Like festival, you know, like Christmas.
And you know why?
Mass.
But you know right? why? Right. Yeah. Christ Mass.
Right.
And you know why? Because it's unfortunate. And I read this, you know, during the election time and stuff like that. And I read this. What I find interesting is that people can fulfill their commitments to revenge or war, but they can't fulfill their commitments to peace.
Wow.
And what's interesting about that is people are so inclined to be negative in so many ways because it makes them feel better, or people that think that they got some type of secret knowledge. I've discovered that there was a pagan here. You know, people have been arguing this the whole time. And when we talk about history, especially behind Nicholas, St. Nicholas, and some of the other components of this, this is the one holiday in God's sovereignty where if you choose not to, as a Christian, to celebrate, you miss the opportunity to put Christ on display in a powerful way where people are much more susceptible to hearing the gospel message.
Right.
So if you choose not to put God on display, you're missing out on the opportunity that God has allowed for the entire world to hear the gospel.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. You can also like us on Facebook at Captive Journey.
Or you can hit our website at www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or you can hit us through email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or hit us on the telephone, 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.